Okay, well, with it being 6 o'clock, I welcome everyone and want to call this meeting to order. I hope everyone's had a great day. This is the Great River Regional Library Board of Trustees meeting. And with that, we are going to amend the agenda. We are going to take on item number 11.2 right after our public forum. Will that work? Patty?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay, and that being the discussion of the lease with the City of St. Cloud. So if you'll adjust your agendas to 11.2 coming right after number 4, our public forum. And with that, I'd be in open for a motion to approve the agenda with that change.
Madam Chair, I'll make that motion. This is Randy with the changes.
Okay,
Randy made the motion, and we'll do Mary for the second.
Okay,
and Patty will run the roll call on that.
Make sure here that I'm okay. There we go. Wayne? Okay. Jeff?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Mary?
You waved.
Okay. George?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Lee?
He said aye, but I think his mic was off.
Michael?
Aye.
Aye.
JC?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. We're going to move on to item number 3, and we're going to take these both with one motion. They're the minutes from our last two meetings, so the July 21st board meeting and the August 18th special session. So I'd be open to a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Second.
That is Michael and Wayne. And now Patty will run the roll call, and I'm going to ask you all to unmute yourselves.
Okay. Zuria?
Yes, aye.
Wayne?
Aye.
Jeff?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Mary?
Aye.
George?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Lee?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
JC?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Good.
Okay, thank you. Do we have anyone for number 4 public forum?
Are there any attendees, Jay?
No.
Okay,
so no public forum tonight. So we'll move on to 11.2 near the end of your agenda. This is the St. Cloud Library lease proposal discussion. Ed Pop and Randy Wincher were in on this with our executive director, Karen. So I'll turn it over to Karen and Randy.
So this is, I think, our final version of a 5-year conversation with the City of St. Cloud. The city has indicated they are willing to sign this proposal. The city council won't be considering it. It will go straight to the mayor for approval. As you know, this lease has been expired since the end of 2014. The negotiations went back and forth. The current lease isn't dramatically changed in this proposal, which is a great result. And a kudos to Randy and Ed for helping me get to that point with the City of St. Cloud. Most expenses are split on the 82-18 basis as they are now. The one change is the AMHS will be phased into a Great River ownership over a 12-year period of time. So that gives us some time to make adjustments as we go, and it is phased in stages. So we'll start out with 82-18, then go to a 50-50, and then 25-75, and then 0-0. The time frame has been extended, so this lease could go, the first phase goes for 12 years and then can be renewed in 5-year increments. We also added language that extends the lease until something supersedes it. The custodial fees, if you remember in the last version, would have gone 100% to Great River. The city has backed up that proposal and added some language that will consult with the city about staffing levels on custodial functions. That is something that already happens. It just puts that in writing. The overhead expenses do go from 20% to 25%. And then maintenance of effort language was proposed. It would have made it exactly the same as all of our branch agreements. Most of the language in here related to branch operations is exactly the same as what's in branch agreements. The city would not agree to the maintenance of effort language, and we decided to take a step back from that because currently their maintenance of effort level is around $150,000 and the total budget is around $400,000. There's a good chance that if we actually asked Benton County, Stearns County, and Sherburne County to calculate their proportion of the library levy, that would actually incorporate some of the MOE at the St. Cloud level as well. So the risk there is pretty minimal. The AMHS language is shown there, and then costs and expenses over $5,000 need to go to the city administration for approval, and building and maintenance over $30,000 would need to go to the city council. In terms of the $5,000 approval, currently that goes to the St. Cloud Library Board. There's been a lot of confusion about that at the city level, so we're fine getting approval with whoever makes the most sense at the city. And then the $30,000 or more, I think, is somewhat based in some statutory language in terms of size of contract for the city. So it does change the cost for the first year of the lease, about $14,000 we're estimating because of the shift around the AMHS. But we do control some of that. And I think that is also less concerning because right now with the need to quarantine books, we are only using the portion of the AMHS that's inside the library and that we just did some substantial maintenance on. So this is, I think, one of the best proposals we've seen so far on the lease. We've actually gotten to the point where the things that we're conceding on are lower risk. The one thing that we are assuming is the ownership of that machine, but that doesn't actually take place until 2032. So we've got some time to figure out what to do.
Okay, I really appreciate the work on this by Ed, Randy, and Karen. Randy, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Randy, you're muted.
There we go. Yeah, on the machine, that was a proposal we made, and I know maybe no one has any questions on it, because to replace that machine was like about $1 million. Mm-hmm. And that's why we extended the phase-out problem with it. But it is getting old, and we looked at it, and Karen can correct me wrong, that who knows what's going to happen if we're going to need it in the long run or not. And I thought that was a big, major portion of what the city was kind of scared of, that they, because under the old one, they would have to resume all responsibility, or no, 80% or whatever it was. And talking to Karen and Ed, you know, that was one of the biggest things. And then kind of what Lee brought up, you know, if it ain't broke, why fix it? And I think the square footage, that kind of comes in about what we are right now. And again, please correct me if you can, Karen, on that.
Yeah, that's correct, Randy. I mean, what you don't know is how much it's going to cost to maintain the building. That's always an unknown, and the split on the AMHS will be greater. But since we'll be in a decision-making role with what happens with the machine, I think that risk is a lot less than what we would have been looking at a couple of years ago. There used to be a $48,000 maintenance, annual maintenance contract on the machine, and that was dropped a couple of years ago.
And the move forward to the, where I lost my train, and I made sure that we agreed to that too. So the next board that comes, when this, our contract comes due, if we don't sign another, if we can't agree with the city of St. Cloud, this one stays in effect just like the old one, which I'm really happy about because the fact that, you know what, so to the, this would be, this was very much to our benefit, the Great River Regional Library, my opinion.
Great, thank you. So with that, any other questions or comments?
Madam Chair, Jeff Bertram, the second page, the last bullet, it talks about the costs and expenses that goes to the city administrator or over $30,000 to the council. I'm sure you thought of that. The only concern would be timeliness. Council meetings tend to take a long time to make happen. And, you know, if a window blows open or something happens, I don't know how we would address that. But the timeliness, because some of these expenses that we've submitted in the past haven't been dealt with for a while. And some of them, in fact, I think we covered it ourselves recently. That would be the only, I'm sure you thought that through, but just an FYI.
Yeah, it is something we thought about. The $5,000 goes to city administration, and that's effectively what we've been doing already. It's why we end up in locking horns sometimes. The $30,000, the way it was explained to me by the city administrator, like if we went out on a new contract for the HVAC system with a different vendor, they would expect that to come to the city council. I think every other department in the city works that way. We just haven't been because we're not directly a city department. And by working with Public Works, we started doing more of that over the last couple of years. So I think it will actually make things a little easier because we won't be trying to work through the St. Cloud Library Board as another layer to get to the city approval level.
Other comments? And if you are commenting, you'll need to.
This is our last lease contract, and we'll all sign up with all the libraries, correct?
It is the last one.
All right.
Any other comments?
You know, when you consider the recent history of that place, I'd have thought to myself, I'd have checked this out, but I didn't. So can you bring me up to speed on insurance?
The city is covering the parking lot, the everything outside the building. Great River insures basically everything inside the building, which is the same as all the other libraries. The city still would, like in the case of the fire, the city would still be responsible for splitting those costs 82-18 because they're responsible for the public side of the building and Great River is responsible for the regional side of the building. So it's very similar to what we do with other cities with the exception of the regional space.
Hey, other questions or comments? Mary?
I'd just like to say thank you. I mean, long time a coming. And I think it's favorable. You know, that conveyor thing, who knows? Could croak tomorrow for all we know. So it is what it is. So
Mary, would you like to make a motion to accept that or someone else?
I will.
So Mary makes the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Randy. I will second it.
Give it
to William Abbott.
Give it to Mike.
Patty, you pick. And we will, and then Patty will run any other comments or questions. Hearing none, Patty will, so please unmute yourself. Patty will run the roll call. And then Jay mutes us right away. So you don't have to mute yourself. Thank you, Jay, for muting us.
Zuria.
Aye.
Wayne.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Jane.
Aye.
Mary?
Aye.
George?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Lee? Lee?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
JC?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Okay, that's great. We have all of our lease contracts today. So, moving on to number five, the financials. I first want to just thank Linda Treb, who is on this call via phone. She has stepped in. She's worked for Great River for how many years, Karen and Linda?
Longer than me. So.
Thirty-four and a half years. So we are so lucky to have Linda step in with our staffing changes here and cover as our accounting coordinator. So these next three items, we will take each. We need to take each of these separately. So we will first do 5.1, the bills. They were emailed to you, and also an addendum was emailed. And we will need a motion.
So moved.
I'll second. It's Jane. I'll second. Can't see me.
Jane is a second. Who was the first?
Michael.
Mike Potter. So any questions or comments with regard to the bills? Hearing none, I'd ask you again to unmute yourself, and Patty will run the roll call.
Surya.
Aye.
Wayne.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Jane.
Aye.
Mary.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Lisa.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye.
Michael.
Aye.
JC.
Aye.
Randy.
Aye.
Moving on to item number 5.2, the financial reports. Those also were emailed to you by Linda. Any questions?
Madam Chair, Jeff Bertram, I'll move those read to that report.
There's been a motion made by Jeff. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by George. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, please unmute yourself and Patty will run the roll.
Surya.
Aye.
Wayne.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Jane.
Aye.
Mary.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Lisa.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye.
Wayne, or I'm sorry, Michael.
Aye.
JC.
Aye.
Randy.
Aye.
That's it.
Thank you. Motion passes. The next item, 5.3 in your packet, it was designation of designations updates of different bank accounts and signatures that we needed to do with the staffing changes. So those were provided to you in your packet. So I would be open to a motion approving those.
I move to approve.
Motion by George. Is there a second? Seconded by Mary. Any questions or comments about that? Please unmute yourself and Patty will run the roll call.
Surya.
Aye.
Wayne.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Jane.
Aye.
Mary.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Lisa.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye.
Michael.
Aye.
JC.
Aye.
And Randy.
Aye.
Got it.
Motion has carried. Thank you, Patty. Moving on to the consent agenda under number 6, there are 3 items. They were in your packet. I'm going to assume we've read and reviewed those, and we will take all of these, 6.1, 6.2, and 6.3, in one motion. So I would be open to the motion to approve the consent agenda items.
So
Michael
moved.
Potter moves. Second. Was that Wayne second?
Yes.
Yep.
Wayne second. Any questions or comments? Please unmute yourself and Patty will run the roll.
Surya.
Aye.
Wayne.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Jane.
Aye.
Mary.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Lisa.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye.
Michael.
Aye.
JC.
Aye.
Randy.
Aye, and I'm getting message here, so I will be signing off. So again, everyone have a great month ahead of them.
Thanks, Randy. Okay, motion carries. And now we'll move on to number 7, communications. I'm going to turn both these next items over to Karen.
All right, the first one is a report we received from the AmeriCorps VISTA program. This is the first year we've participated. We were actually invited to apply for it, and the St. Cloud Friends of the Library supported the stipend that we paid for the VISTA. And you can see, even with the closure over the summer, we had really good experience with the program for the first time, and I thought it was nice to see that they were able to show impact on kids reading this summer, and we were part of that project. So I wanted to make sure that you guys got to see that. On the bottom, you can see the report specifically about our VISTA, whose name was Cecilia. She was really a trooper. I mean, she came in and we were not open. We had to train her in and figure out how to do that in a virtual environment. She did a great job. So if you have any questions about that, I'm happy to answer them if I can. This is a report we received, though. It's not one that we created ourselves. And if you want, I can just keep on to the next one. The second one is the Minnesota Library Association proposed legislative platform. We're going into an interesting environment with the next legislative session. It's hard to say what that's going to hold for us. At the public library level, we are continuing to champion for local government aid to support local governments to maintain library services statewide. That's where a lot of those city and county libraries receive their funds. We are also asking for support for the state library construction bonding and library improvement grant projects. That's how the Kimball Library grant is being funded. We would want to see that program continued. It was one that would have been passed with the bonding bill last legislative session. And as most of you know, that bonding bill has been held up. And then continuing legacy funding at the same level. We're also going to continue to ask for stable regional library basic system support. That being said, we don't know what the next session will hold or what education funding will look like or library funding. So we're proposing that the legislature at least maintain it at sustainable levels. So just providing that for your information. This will be voted on at the next MLA board meeting, which will be held virtually in October.
Okay, any questions for Karen with those? Okay, we have no presentations tonight, so we'll move on to item number 9, which is our staff reports. A number of reports were in your packet. Karen's going to go over a few of the items.
Sure. And there's not a lot new from the executive director report. We did receive CARES Act funding from a couple of cities so far. Several have asked for us to submit requests, so we're waiting for responses back on that. The hotspot project continues to move forward, and I can't say enough how proud I am of our staff to get all of our libraries reopened in the form that they're in right now. It was a lot of internal energy. The public is responding in kind. Like they really appreciate those services. So I just want to give a shout out to our staff for all the hard work that they did to accomplish that. Moving on to the management reports. I know Julie is on the call, but I'm going to speak for her unless she wants to jump in. The one thing I did want to highlight from Julie's report is our unemployment, as I've mentioned in earlier meetings, is currently being paid out of a designated account. We may at some point deplete that account because it's one-time money that we had set aside for that purpose. If that happens, we will start pulling it from the personnel benefits line, which we don't anticipate running over. We're holding enough positions open at this point that we don't think it'll be a budget issue. But when we get to that point, it'll be something we'll bring forward to the Finance Committee for future consideration if we want to set money aside again for that purpose. So just wanted to call that out. And in Brianne's report on page 39 and 40, she does a follow-up from last August's work session. We had a lot of good responses from the work session, and she shared out the core values on our social media page. The post on just our Facebook page for the region had over 791 people reached with 16 likes, comments, and shares. There was very little negative feedback on the topic at all. It was mostly positive feedback, and that was nice to see. She just got the signage back from the translator, which took a little while, but those signs will be posted in each library in the top languages for their county. That varies by county. Some of the top languages in Great River is English, of course, Spanish, Somali, and German, which was a little bit of a surprise at first until we started thinking about, you know, like Todd County. I was just up there this morning and followed a couple of buggies into town. Like the Amish community is huge in some parts of our region. So I expect that's part of the reason we're seeing that language coming to the top. So those were the big high points from the management reports. The other thing I wanted to share, if you're ready to move, well, let me stop and see if anybody has any questions about that first, and then I can move to building reports. Or if Julie or Linda, who are both, and Jay, who are on the call, they wrote their own reports. If they want to add anything, I'll leave some space here.
Madam Chair.
Okay, Mary.
Just out of curiosity, if we got some, or are eligible for CARES money, how much?
We don't receive it directly. What we have been submitting are CARES eligible expenses to the entities. So it's been a bit of a challenge because we buy everything on a regional basis and then we have to split it down by branch. So things that are qualifying are like the hand sanitizer, the cloth rags that we purchase, the plastic wrap that we put over the keyboards, the webcams that we purchased at different branches, the plexiglass. And so that varies by branch. And we've been submitting those to each city as we've been receiving their requests.
So the cities get the money?
The cities and the counties get the money. Great River receives no money directly. We have to work through the city or the county for our request. And each one is doing it differently. And I just submitted, for example, to one city, it's part of their EDA process. And I'm not sure if we'll be a qualifying nonprofit under their definition or not, but I filled out the paperwork anyway.
Best guess?
No idea. If the city of St. Cloud pays for our full request, it'll cover more than the plexiglass. So it depends.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Madam Chair, Jeff Bertram, Karen, that unemployment, the unemployment claims, did somebody firmly, because we've always been operating on it, we're not clear whether or not we are obligated for that or not, or has that been determined now 100% we will be or are? Because just as a reminder, that's not unemployment through the library, that's unemployment by library employees that have secondary jobs.
Mostly, yeah. The last time I looked, over half the claims were people who were working their normal hours or were substitutes on our payroll and had a second job where they had reduction hours or layoff. We had received the notice, you're right, Jeff, in quarter two saying don't pay this amount. We followed up so far. They still haven't clarified how much we actually owe. Julie continues to work on those unemployment claims as they come through. Several we've raised an issue with and then have had the amount that we had to pay reduced.
Madam Chair, Karen, the only concern is once you pay something, it's going to be hard to get it rectified if we don't need or aren't obligated to. One, it sets a precedent, in my opinion, but more importantly, everybody's going to be short with all the deficits in the state, the counties, cities. I just don't want to be setting ourselves up for something that's going to be far beyond $14,000.
Right. Well, and we basically pay the bill when they send it. We just haven't gotten the bill yet.
Yeah, Karen, they've actually put the quarter two bill on hold. We're not supposed to pay it. They're still working out how that's going to look for reimbursing employers.
And could that be part of the funding?
No.
That can't be.
No.
Why not?
It's not qualifying under.
Not an eligible expense.
Well, it would be nice, Madam Chair, Karen, to get that firmed up as far as, you know, officially from somebody saying, yes, you do need to pay it, or no, you do not need to pay it at some point.
Yeah, we're relying on the state. That's the hard part. We can't make them go any faster.
Good idea or not?
Any other questions or comments?
So in the past, have we paid unemployment?
Very rarely. The dollar amount that's designated there, we had actually had as a standing operating budget line that we budgeted every year up until, I think, the 2015 budget. And it was that budget that we decided to take the amount, set it aside, and see how long it takes us to use it up. And this is the first year we've even actually looked at maybe expending it out, and it's only because of COVID. Okay. So, you know, it is really hard to say whether we should be budgeting more, because we could probably pull it out of that benefits line on a regular basis since we've historically been underspending the personnel line.
Okay.
And this Madam Chair.
Excuse me, just a minute, Mary. This is something that Karen and I have talked about a bit, and we will probably bring it to finance just to have a little more discussion on it. So we think that's where it should land going forth here. So, Mary.
Well, my question was, how come we owe unemployment if someone has a second job? And maybe that's because I'm just dumb. But, and then secondly, is that $33,000 or whatever that was noted?
It's in Julie's report. Yep. Julie, do you want to try to explain it better than I did?
So a lot of companies, they pay an unemployment tax, and then when there's a claim, the state pays for the claim, and possibly their tax rate might be affected. We and most public entities or government entities are considered a reimbursing employer, so that means we actually pay the claim. We don't pay the tax on a regular basis. We pay when there's a claim that comes in. So if somebody's eligible because they maybe lost a second job because of COVID, that might make them eligible for unemployment. We pay part of that claim. So we would have a certain percent based on the person's wages through us, and that would be our liability.
Okay, other questions?
Madam Chair, Jeff Bertram, the other odd thing is all of these people are self-employed. So if I understand this right, they weren't employed by another company. They were self-employed by themselves and then did not work. Again, it has nothing to do with the library. The library continued paying them 100% of whatever their position was. It was because they had independent, you know, jobs secondary from the library. That's where I can't believe that in the end, we will be held liable. When you played, JC asked a good question, when you paid unemployment in the past, wasn't it because the library itself laid off that employee? Not a secondary.
Most of the time. We've had this issue come up in the past, but okay. Not to this degree.
Okay. Well, and that's why, Madam Chair, Karen, I think we really do need to nip this because we're setting a precedent now that suddenly could open up the floodgates to something beyond this a year or two from now.
And Julie raises an issue with everyone that comes through at 100%.
Right, and I think I had checked the unemployment site this week, and they know this is an issue for nonprofits and reimbursing employers. They just haven't gotten the direction yet. I'm somewhat confident maybe something's going to do to help give some relief to the reimbursing employers. They just haven't figured it out yet, but it is stated that they're aware of it, they're working on it, and they'll have further direction later, which is part of why they indicated do not pay your second quarter bill.
Okay, JC?
Just as a follow-up, Madam Chair, I'm wondering if it comes out that we do have to pay it, the state says, yep, you got to go ahead and pay this. Will that be something, it sounds like you want to go to the finance committee about it. Will that be something that maybe either the finance committee or the board will have to talk about before we actually pay it? Just as, is it kind of piggybacking off Jeff's suggestion that maybe we don't want to just automatically pay it?
I don't know that we would really have a choice but to pay it once it is actually a final quarter to notice. All of the appeal stuff will have happened on those claims when that bill actually comes due. But at this point, it's not actually due.
Right. I'm probably getting a little bit ahead.
Yeah.
So, that's fine.
Yeah. The main thing we'll need action on at some point, if that gets expended out, is whether or not we want a designated account for it long term.
Yeah, and that was the piece more I was talking about, that we would start that conversation in finance to see if we want a designated line for that piece. So, anything else?
I do want to share something about the Kimball building yet before we're ready to move on.
Sure.
Because Lee got to see it, but the rest of you didn't yet. So I have some pictures from the inside of the building. This is the children's space here. This is one of the main entrances on the left. And we had gotten a tour last week. They are getting really close to opening. They need to do some final touches, as you can see in some of these pictures. This will be the circulation desk, which is just off to the side from that children's space. The back is a staff work area, which is going to be really nice. This is a quartz countertop. It's pretty impressive. And then this is the staff workspace, and you can see it's still a little dusty. They're still working on the final touches, as I said, but the current library is like 800-ish square feet. And the new library space, you can see, is nice and big. We've got Mayor Collins here and then Barry, who is the project manager. They've got beautiful windows. You can see up on top, they've got different panels on the ceiling for noise control. And that's where some of that soft seating will be placed. These lights fixtures are really beautiful. They're kind of like a stained glass look. And then this is the community room, which is off to the side of the library. So that'll be accessible to the public outside of library open hours. So this will be a really great community space. It has a nice kitchen. You might remember there were some issues with B3 guidelines. And so we believe these windows were added as part of those B3 requirements. So you have a nice view outside of the people who are parked outside. So it's going to be a really great space. You can see Lee standing next to the Friends of the Library storage closet there. This is where they're going to store their library book sale books in the community room. So it's kind of the other side of the community room. So this is getting to be a real thing in the midst of everything else that's happening. It's kind of amazing to see this project actually coming to life. We expect the grand opening or the soft opening to be the end of October, early November. But more to come on that. It's just exciting to see this big long-term project come to fruition. So I wanted to make sure you got a chance to see it.
Thanks, Karen. Lee, do you want to say anything about it?
Oh, you're on mute. Try again.
No.
Okay.
It's everything Karen said.
Okay, great. Thanks. It was fun to see those pictures.
It'll be four times bigger than the current facility.
Wow. And Jay or Julie, do you want to add anything else with your reports?
I don't think so. Jay?
I have nothing to add.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on then to number 10. 10.1 is the Personnel Committee, which met right before this meeting. I'll turn this part over to Jane.
So thank you, Lisa. We did approve two different things in our meeting. One is we adapted the wording in one of the personnel policies. Now reads, instead of shall, it reads may. I'll read the statement. Before changes to the pay plan are adopted, the board shall, but now it's going to be read may, take into account the prevailing compensation for comparable positions in the recruiting areas. And that did pass. And then our other thing that we voted on is we accepted the accounting coordinator's position description. And both those passed unanimously. And our next meeting is November 17th.
Any questions or comments, or we would be open to a motion to approve the Personnel Committee report. Motion made by Mary.
Second.
Second by Michael. Any other questions or comments? Mary has a question. You have to unmute yourself, Mary.
Tell me again why shall and may are so important.
Well, I'll respond to that. The word shall means that we would need to take action, where the word may means that we would have the option of taking action. Does that clarify it a little bit better?
Well, I get that, but how come it's important?
Because one would mean, shall would mean definite action when I have to take place, where the word may means that we can evaluate the situation and then take action from what the board decides on. It's not a definite.
It's a bit of flexibility as a board.
Flexibility.
Well, and I remember we talked about this before, or I saw it in the personnel discussions, and I kind of forgot how come it was so important, but it's fine. We can do it.
Other questions? Okay, if you'd unmute yourself, Patty can call the roll call.
Surya.
Aye.
Wayne.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Jane.
Aye.
Mary.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Lisa.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye.
Michael.
Aye.
JC.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, and moving on to the Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange Board, those involved in this are Carlin, Mary, Lee, Jane, and Ed. Which one of you is going to report on that? Ed is not here. Carlin's not here. So Mary, Lee, or Jane, if you could give us a little update on the Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange Board.
I think Mary and Jane could do a fine job.
Okay, thanks, Lee.
I'll say just a few things. We did vote on officers, and Carla is coming back as our chair. Their whole focus has kind of changed. They're looking to hire a part-time person to help be a direct liaison to the teachers. So we are looking to hire someone in a part-time job of that. I believe it was 10 hours per week. So they're looking for someone that's a direct contact to the schools. The virtual reality kits are still a big hit, and their request schools are still requesting them. They were very surprised in that. Mary or Lee, any comments other than that?
Well, only that the this part-time position is proposed to be a contract position, and Mary Jordan is helping out at the VOTEC in St. Cloud to the tune of, I don't know, what, 10 hours a week, 20, something. So that still has to be resolved. And, well, she's already there. We had our virtual meeting on, what, last week, Wednesday, was it? And she was at the school already. So, but this part-time contract position, I believe, has yet to be resolved. So, Lee?
Relative to, we're kind of putting the cart ahead of the horse here in some respects with this whole committee, because we're getting the opportunity to perhaps do some pass-through funding where get money from somewhere else and, you know, make the decision of where it goes. And my whole thing is rather than come up with whiz-bang ideas and where all this stuff ought to go, we need to come up with first criteria of what it is we want to accomplish, what our goals are, and that'll determine the cash flow. I left the meeting early, so I don't know if that idea went anywhere, but while I was there, I did bring that up. So this is it's like any grant situation. It's just that in this case, none of us, or very few of us, have been involved in making rules for grants, and kind of a newbie deal for all of us.
Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Lee, I'm not sure you're talking about the grants that we give to schools, or you're talking about how we pay for the contract position.
School.
Oh, different matter.
Okay, anything else with the report?
Not for me.
Okay, that's just a verbal report. We don't need action on that. And so item number 10.3, the DEI Diversity Inclusion Toolkit. I will ask Surya to give a report on that. Oh, you have to unmute yourself, Surya.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Diversity Committee has met a couple of times. That includes a couple of members from the board and a couple of members from the Great River Regional Library along with Karen. And so we have been working on figuring out what our plan of action is going to be for sending out this survey and coming up with a timeline of how this will go along. So the rough idea is that we are again meeting tomorrow to discuss the finalization of the survey. And then our plan is to set up the survey and launch the survey on October 5th. The goal is that we will have the results back on November 17th, which will be the final results and feedback that we receive. And then at that point, then we look at it and kind of decide what are our next steps going to be based on the results that come from that. And then we will present that to the board, hopefully in February, as we talk about a strategic plan coming up.
Thanks, Surya. Any questions or comments?
Madam Chair, this is George. How is it determined who's going to get this survey?
So the survey is going to be sent to a random sampling of people. It will include all the board members. It will include important stakeholders, like people like Friends of the Library and other patrons that are donors for us. And then it will be sent out to the other members of the library who utilize the library. And that we have a select number of what we will do, but that will be picked out randomly through emails. So all the emails that we have on accounts, we will put a certain number, send them the survey. If we do not get a response, we will send a reminder for them to complete the survey and send it back and hopefully get a good enough percentage of responses from each group so that we can have some good results and have a good conversation about where to go from there.
Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you, Surya. It sounds like Surya has a bird household. My grandsons just got birds, and I was there trying to do one of these calls a few days ago. So we hear the birds.
Lisa, you're
under number 11, unfinished business. 11.1, the strategic plan timeline. In your packet, I will turn this over to Karen.
So as you remember, probably we were going to have a strategic plan done by the end of the year, and then COVID hit. So I updated the timeline. The last time you saw this was probably in May when we did the RLBSS application and we needed to include an update. So I've updated that list. You can see what steps we said we were going to take and have already completed. And then on the back, you can see what is in progress or what is on hold. I think at this point, the leadership team is recommending that we put together like a one-year gap plan for 2021 in order to just kind of focus where services should be in this recovery sustainability phase of the pandemic, and then focus that next part of the long-range plan post 2021. And we may not end up doing the group sessions that we had talked about, because in the current environment, it would just be very hard to have a large group discussion with a variety of stakeholders in a way that would be meaningful. So we won't be doing the St. Cloud community meeting or patron feedback sessions. I'm recommending that we don't do the strategic planning workshop with the board, staff, and stakeholders, that instead we'll be not doing the staff engagement survey this fall, but doing that DEI toolkit survey, and then use some of those recommendations to build into that strategic plan. So our hope would be to have that final plan done by spring of 2021 and pull all those last pieces together and take those recommendations forward. So I did ask that this would be approved because it is a formal change to the path we were on, and we haven't asked for a formal change yet. And it's certainly open for discussion, but this is kind of where we're at this point.
So I'll open it for discussion first.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Mary.
Do we have to have this approved by the state or
the board needs to approve it, and the state needs the final version for us to receive the state funding. They are already aware that this has been postponed and are fine with us continuing to report that we're developing the plan and that this is the new timeline. So the next time we submit an update on the RLBSS application, we would just submit this timeline or the final plan, depending on the timing.
Even with the one-year gap thing?
Yeah, there. I mean, everybody recognizes that this is unusual circumstances and it's taking more time to do the things that we had planned to do.
Okay.
Jeff.
Madam Chair.
Jeff.
Second.
Mary, Jeff has a question.
Actually, I didn't, but
I'm ready to make
a motion.
Oh, okay. Jeff will make a motion to approve the revised plan. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mary. So any other questions or comments? I had one comment or something that I thought of when I was listening to you, Karen. Just putting off the focus groups or the gatherings due to the COVID situation. In my world, people are getting very comfortable doing this. And in fact, it sometimes solicits a whole different crowd or a whole different group of people that are unable to be there in person for whatever reason. So I don't want you to change the plan, but just something to think about. How do we gather information? This might go on for another 12 to 18 months. So if we do need to have focus groups of any kind, not so much for this, but in the future, I think I have seen some pretty delightful things happen through Zoom meetings with focus groups. So just a thought.
Thanks.
I mean, they're not ideal, but yet we're really glad we have this capacity because we can keep doing visits. So anything else? Hearing none, please unmute yourself and Patty will run the roll call.
Zuria.
Aye.
Wayne.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Jane.
Aye.
Mary.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Lisa.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye.
Michael.
Aye.
JC.
Aye.
And that's all.
Okay, thanks, Patty. Moving on to agenda item 12.1, the Executive Director Annual Evaluation Form Distribution. Julie and I talked about this a bit, about the process and how we will be doing this year with our little different situation. And we will be, Julie, did we determine those are going to be mailed out?
Right, the forms will be mailed out tomorrow. So you can complete a paper copy and we'll have an envelope. You can mail it back to me. Or if you'd like an electronic copy, you can send me an email and I'll send that. But what we wanted to do tonight is discuss the format for presenting the review, whether it was with the whole board or maybe because that's such a big group in this virtual arena, maybe we want to do the personnel committee.
Right. And Julie and I spoke about this a while back prior to some difficulty with the executive director position that some of you probably remember. I wasn't on the board during that time. Common practice was Julie would gather the evaluations, collate them, and then they'd go to personnel first. Correct, Julie?
Well, that was about 5 years ago. So the last couple of years, all information has gone to the full board, and then the full board presented the review to Karen in a closed session. So, prior to that, it was just the personnel committee. And then the personnel committee would make a recommendation to the, or report to the full board.
So I am open to what board members would like to see done. Like I just said, we're getting used to meeting this way, even though it's not the most comfortable, but would people prefer that all the information just be presented to the personnel committee and the personnel committee make a recommendation? Or do it like we've done the last number of years, that all the information gets presented to the board.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mary.
I think the full board should be involved.
Okay, others? Lee doesn't. Lee gives
Madam Chair, Madam Chair, Jeff Bertram, the only thought that pops in my head is especially meeting this way, is could we potentially have a more productive conversation with Karen as a personnel committee, a smaller group with the Zoom, still give the information to the entire board, but we could maybe spend a little bit more time on it in a more focus committee to give the follow-up, because Karen, to her credit, always has wanted more detailed reaction and follow-up. So that would be my only thought, is we still would give the information to the full board, but we could have a little bit more in-depth discussion and follow-up in a committee format, in my opinion.
And that was actually my thought also, that we would do more of the in-depth discussion at the personnel board level. So, but others?
This is Georgia. I support what Jeff just said.
Okay. Lee gave a shrug. Zuria?
I support it. I think that is probably the best way to do it. And I think that would be helpful for Karen to kind of get it from a small group of people, so that it's a more situation where you can understand each other and there's a time for question and answers.
Okay. Anyone else?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mary.
Would the full board still have like the survey thing or the...
Yes, the full board would still get all the information. Yes.
Madam Chair?
So we just wouldn't have like five or six people calling the shots.
Well, everything has to come to the full board for the final, but it would be a smaller group of people being able to provide feedback to Karen. Yep. Jane?
Yes, I was wondering if we could possibly have the personnel committee do the first review and possibly meet in person, because it'll be a smaller group instead of Zoom. I just kind of would like to take it offline. I know it still will be not recorded, but it's still, people can still be kind of coming into Zoom meetings. They're not that secure. So if we could possibly do a small meeting in person.
And that, I think Julie and I talked about that a bit, that if we did just personnel, yes, we could do it in a in-person meeting. So what I'm hearing from people is that we will, everyone will receive all the information, but the discussion will happen on the personnel committee level and then be presented to the full board.
The Madam Chair, then it will be brought back to the full board for approval or for acceptance.
Correct.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Okay.
Right. I'm not sure if you do an approval or just a report that you reviewed her and she met expectations or.
Okay.
I think that's how we had done it some years ago when it went from the personnel to the full board.
I am confident Patty will let us know what we need to do.
I second that.
I'm thinking that's a Julie thing.
Okay, I'm confident between Julie and Patty, they will let us know what they need or what we need to do. Okay.
Is Julie, public flogging on the menu?
So okay. At this point, just watch for the reviews. There'll be a due date on them, and if you can get them back to me, that gives me some time to compile them, and then usually it is presented in the November meeting.
And if you're anything like me, the minute it comes in your mail, do it and send it back. Right, Julie?
Yeah.
So, okay. Anything else, Karen, that you have for us? Okay, moving on to agenda item number 13, board open forum. Anything that people would like to share with the board? I'm going to go around and just call your name and see if you will share something that's going on in your county or in your work or in your personal life. And we'll start with Michael Potter.
Oh, yeah, start at the end of the alphabet here. We just approved a 5% levy increase today. That's been the lowest in a long time. But a couple years ago, we had to do a correction to make up for things. We've got a lot of growth going on, but 5% is where we're at. That's what I got to report. And the other thing is that Linda is correct on these Zoom-type virtual meetings. This platform here is the least secure of all visual video ones out there. So I think it's pertinent to have us have that personnel thing private.
Okay, Jeff, Bertram.
Well, the boys are trying to do the school thing. Mitchell's able to go 4 days a week to Painesville, and Jacob's doing mostly online at St. Cloud. So they're getting through it. Business is great. Arlene and I have both been lucky and busy. And what I do want to know from Commissioner Lenzmeyer is if he's going to hire out for modeling, because there was at least three pictures in that Kimball shoot that I think, Lee, you could make some money hiring out for modeling.
Some guys got it and some ain't.
How about Wayne?
My wife is back to school at her library. She has a new library at the Buffalo Middle School. Our granddaughter's back in school and enjoying that. World's a safe place, and things are going well.
Thanks, Wayne. How about Lee?
Well, AAA is going really well. I quit shaking about 2 months ago. Nothing new beyond that. I quit belching too.
Lee, you can tell he's in campaign mode. George.
Yes, my wife and I, we just traveled to Florida last week to visit one of our grandsons, and everything is good. But I will tell you, flying is okay. It's a good experience. You have lots of extra room, and so don't hesitate to go somewhere.
Okay, thanks, George. How about Mary?
I don't have much. Pretty boring around here, other than my neighbors and the turkeys in the backyard, and my grandkids are back in school, some in person, some hybrid, some digital, and the kids across the street got on the school bus, so I haven't seen a school bus for a long time, until a few days ago. That's great.
Zuria.
Kids went back to hybrid model. It's going okay. I have my kitty here who's really happy to have the house to herself for some days. She was picking up all of us because we were all the time hounding her. So she's happy that we're not around. And pressing news that I have is that insurances have approved for us to do telephone visits and video visits till June 30th, 2021, which means that the expectation that this is going to end sometime soon is kind of a fairy tale, it sounds like.
Is that the good news for the night, Zuria?
No, that's the bad news.
But it's real. It's real.
It is real. Yep. It's happening, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Hi. So kind of the same things. We're back at school and here at Das Cocado, we're back full time. So everybody's back and I've got one son at college who's online. So I think my connection isn't great. So I'll just say bye till next month.
Thanks, JC. How about Jane? Jane, you have to unmute.
Jane had to step outside for just 1 minute.
Oh, that's Jane's assistant.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. For me, county stuff is our board is actually meeting weekly now, just with all the CARES Act funding situation. And so it's a very busy time for our board. And also I'm in campaign mode, and I've had a few campaigns in my life, and this has been the absolute most divisive community I've ever had to campaign. I don't think it's just in our area. I think in our state and our world, it feels so divisive. I've never felt people so angry. So that's been really hard, because I like to be with people, as you all know. But right now I don't want to be with anyone. So I have one son having their fourth child this next year and one son getting married. So that's really good news. So that's it. I really appreciate the work of our staff. I'm able to still hop on some of our leadership committee, our meetings, and our planning committee for the library. And I just have to tell you, we have an amazing staff, and every decision they make is being so affected by the COVID situation that they have to like jump through hoops and really think about everything in a whole different way. So you can be really proud of your staff. So just a shout out to them. And with that, that ends our business for the night. Our next meeting is October 20th. And I believe we'll also have a finance committee then. And the following meeting after that, November 17th. So with our business being done, I really thank everyone for your time tonight. Thank the staff. Our meeting is adjourned.